Into another land, free finally from all the pain.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with jazz vocalist Shiri Zorn and guitarist George Muscatello. Together, they open up about their new 2022 CD, Into Another Land, billed as an original, intoxicating, soulful, unexpected, powerful, and celestial release. Their nearly decade-long collaboration culminates with their new album, hatched during the lockdown and inspired by their spontaneity of past performances around Saratoga, New York. They open up about this and so much more. Enjoy.
Hi, Joe.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm well. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for taking a minute out today.
Oh, thank you.
Your latest album, Into Another Land, coming out Friday, June 10th. I'm curious with this release, it's coming out now as we kind of hit the tail end of this pandemic. Things are opening up, more live shows. How does this release feel for you?
First of all, before I say anything, my partner in crime here is actually here. George Muscatello is with me.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, George, what's up? Thanks for joining in. I appreciate it.
Sure. Go ahead, Benny. Answer that you could try.
I would say that this, to me, was something that kept me somewhat sane during the pandemic. You know, this is something that started just because we weren't really working much, still needed to stay engaged in making music. So we live very close to one another, and we were in the same kind of pod, and we kept working together, and bit by bit, it just became an album.
Talk to me a little bit about, speaking of bit by bit, how did you actually construct this album? What was the creative process that went into putting this together?
I've been working with Tierney Sutton, the jazz singer who vocally produced this album, for the past 2 years, and, you know, kind of going back and forth with material. And she, at some point, she said to me, listen, you have such great material, just start documenting it. And this is how the creative, I wouldn't say the creative process, but the process began, because we were stuck in my little basement and got the equipment to start recording. And I had to figure out how to be an engineer, not just a vocalist. And we kind of gave it a shot and tried, and we aimed for, you know, 3 songs at the beginning just as an experiment, and it just kind of evolved.
So talk to me about how this music union happened between you two. How did you start collaborating, and why does it work so well?
The honest version is I was playing a duo gig with a friend about 10 years ago. Shiri walked in. I couldn't stand her face. She didn't like mine. We didn't even really care for one another at all. She ended up hiring my friend, who ended up needing to beg on the gigs and didn't really ask her who he should get for a sub, and got me, and I needed work. So I showed up, and much to her dismay. But then we kind of, I don't know, started talking a little bit, and she just kind of asked, like, do you want to start getting together? And it was few and far between of, you know, maybe it's just our age or whatever, of people actually being able to get together without making a little scratch. So, yeah, we just started getting together and just kind of thought that we had a musical connection.
And then started working a lot.
Started working together. A lot.
Yeah. We played a lot of gigs together, and a lot of the material that's on this album is an inspiration that came in the moment, you know, on gigs. George would start something and I would respond to it, and vice versa. And we came up with certain arrangements that we still have to this day.
So you've been doing this for 10 years, correct?
Yeah, close to 10
Wonderful.
Years.
Wonderful. Yeah. Who would you cite as musical influences when you actually do what you do and, you know, kind of start laying things out? Who has swayed you in your life and influences the way that you do when you collaborate?
Like, I don't think it's that complicated for me as far as, like, when we're actually playing. I think it's really, I mean, for me, and I was a little late to this, it really comes from Shiri's sound of her, the sound coming out of her mouth, really. I would say it starts there, but as far as my like influences, like on the record, of things that seem to come out on this one. I mean, there's so many influences. You know, if I could start with Kiss in 1976. You know, I don't want to bore you with the whole, which would be just as much of an influence as Bela Bartok would, or, you know, Alan Holdsworth or Grant Green or, you know, Herbie. You know, I mean, I could go on and on. But on this record, I mean, track by track, I would mostly say for me personally, it's probably when I hear it, hopefully, I don't know if other people would hear this, you know, and I don't mean to give these names and put myself in the same even ballpark as them, but I would say some of it is definitely Leo Brower. Some of it is Raphael Rebello and Dino Seven Chords. That there's one record by those two. Alfred Schnittke, a little bit. Jim Hall with Jimmy Jufrey. The Western Suite somehow seemed to, for me, come out in this in a weird way. I don't know. Yeah, there's so many. I'm sorry to take up, you know, maybe such an unclear thing on my part, but Jerry?
I come from the classical world. I played classical piano and I was a classical trained singer before I switched pretty late in life to jazz. I was in my late 20s when I made the switch. So there's definitely the classical influence, which I feel like is just so prominent in George's playing. So when I hear him, there is something that just feels like I'm home. Like it's very familiar to me in that way. And there is a need. And of course, as a vocalist, lyrics are a major thing. So if I go back to, you know, some of the influences, I don't really share any of the vocal characteristics with Carmen McRae, but I love the delivery of it. So that's one, of course. And Tierney Sutton, to me, she's been a role model for, you know, the past 15 years. I've been listening to her, and I love the way she tells a story. So that's definitely also an influence right there. But I think, like George was saying before, there is something that just feeds in the moment where I hear certain resonances coming out of the guitar, and it sparks something in my brain and I react to it. And that will dictate some of the phrasing, some of the way I would, you know, emphasize certain words in a sentence. Yeah, the way I would improvise or rhythmically what I, you know, choose to do. So it is definitely a bag of different influences from years of singing music, but it's also very much in the moment and trying to really respond to what's coming at me or to me in the moment.
So let's say you bring your show on the road to Kansas City to present it to audiences here, let's say off at the Blue Room off 18 and Vine, and you have to come up with a way that will entice people to come to see you. Explain what your show would be like and why they should come see you live on a visit to Kansas City.
I think the idea is to engage people in a journey, hopefully on an emotional level, more so. I mean, because you can claim that jazz, you know, has become an intellectual form, you know, art form. But at the end of the day, the idea is to be able to touch somebody emotionally. And I feel that if somebody's willing to really engage in the moment, they will find that it's quite an interesting journey to kind of take with us. And some of it is, to us, will be new every time it happens. And it really depends on the mood and the energy and what we feel in the moment. But also the idea of sharing that, opening a little window to, you know, to other people to come and join that and be a part of it. You know, and I also, when we do concerts where there is a certain element of the back and forth with an audience, and I always try and read some poetry, translate some stuff that I bring from different languages, introduce, you know, the material a certain way that makes it maybe a little bit more accessible. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just kind of an emotional joint, hopefully, journey that everybody's taking part in.
So speaking of live music, what do you hope we all realize about the power of it as we start returning more and more now, something we were largely away from for about 2 years?
Well, I think at the end of the day, it's about connection. And it's about trying to connect with people. And I feel like there is no better way to do it than to be present in a room with somebody and feel their energy and give energy to them and you know, try and create a connection that's not even on a level of actual words, something that goes beyond that, something that, you know, gives and takes and just kind of, I think that's the main idea behind it. And I think that's what people have been missing so much, just that feeling of being present in a room and feeling that energy, you know. And I can say this as a performer, but I also can say it as a listener too. I think it's just crucial to our mental, you know, health.
I agree. Absolutely agree. Well, Shiri and George, thank you for opening up about the album, about the, you know, world we're living in right now, and good luck with the release and getting out on the road. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in New York, Kansas City, and spots all over the world. Thanks to both Shiri and George for their time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. And for everything Joe Dimino related, go to JoeDimino.com. And if you feel like it, you can donate to the cause there at Patreon or PayPal. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.